Michelle Harper with Union Rescue Mission, Dorcas House, Nehemiah House, and a few other locations. Are you with me?
I am, and I want to say happy birthday to KBF.
You're the first in line. Thank you.
I'm excited to be that first one to wish you happy birthday, and thank you, John, so much for having me.
All right. Now, first things first, I always want my guests to share their contact information with all of the listeners out there, the listeners who, in fact, may need your services. So whatever contact information you can, whether it's going to be a physical or a mailing address, how people get in touch with you by phone, the online information you have, give the folks out there contact information, either for you, Union Rescue Mission, or if you want to throw it in for Dorcas House and all of the other groups, go right ahead. But do it.
All right. Well, I will. So, the best way to get in touch with us and to share your need with us or how we can help you or how you want to get involved with the mission is to call our number at 501-370-0808.
Give them that number again. Give them that number again, please.
All right, I will. It's 501-370-0808.
Okay.
And you're going to want to listen for the prompt. We have three locations that it'll prompt you to. So the corporate offices can answer general questions, but if you are looking for drug and alcohol recovery, if you're looking to get involved with the Dorcas House, drug and alcohol recovery for women, you will want to listen for the prompt for the Dorcas House.
Mm-hmm.
If you want drug and alcohol recovery with the Nehemiah House, which is for men, then you'll want to listen for that prompt. So that is the phone number is the best way. But if you just want some basic information on what the Union Rescue Mission does, who we are, go to our website at URMission.org. So that's URMissionLR.org.
Okay. Now, there's always going to be, sad to say, some instances where someone is going to need help, but it's after hours. So the phone number that you gave, is that going to be valid if there's after hours or an emergency out there calling? They want to get in touch with the rescue mission for some help?
Sure. So here's the situation with that. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Dorcas House.
Uh-huh.
Before
going any further, is that all 7 days a week or just strictly Monday through Friday?
That's 7 days a week.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the Nehemiah House is open till 7 p.m., so they go a little later.
Uh-huh.
And if it was a need for the Dorcas House, the Nehemiah House can get you to the right person.
Okay.
You will get an answer till 7. After 7, though, we do not have an emergency line. What I suggest for, like, let's say it's a woman or a woman and children that need to get out of a dire situation, to call the police.
Uh-huh.
And they will help get them to safety until they can make contact with the Dorcas House.
Okay. Now, I'm also guessing that if someone was looking around, not only could they find, like, the website, but if they wanted to do some additional checking, Union Rescue Mission, at the least, Union Rescue Mission would have, like, a Facebook or a Twitter or an Instagram site, things like that?
Absolutely. We are on Facebook with Union Rescue Mission Little Rock is what you'll want to search.
Mm-hmm.
And same goes for Twitter, Union Rescue Mission. I think it may be Union Rescue Mission LR.
Mm-hmm.
And then Instagram is Union Rescue Mission Little Rock as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have a LinkedIn. So you can find us on LinkedIn, too.
Okay. Now, for Union Rescue Mission itself, do you want to give a physical address for that as well as the office hours, the regular office hours?
Sure. The corporate office is located at 3001 Springer Boulevard.
3001 Springer Boulevard, okay.
In Little Rock, it's 720, I think it's 722-06 is the zip code.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the corporate office address. The Nehemiah House is right beside us on Springer. And then the Dorcas House is located over there near Children's Hospital, downtown Little Rock.
Now, what about the days and hours of office operation, corporate office operation?
Oh, corporate office. We are open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but Union Rescue Mission, I've always had it in mind that your focus is basically right here, Little Rock, North Little Rock, the essential Pulaski County area. But I've heard or read something somewhere about how Union Rescue Mission has branched out or is thinking of branching out to other parts of the state.
No, we actually, that's one of the things that we, a lot of people don't realize, but we impact the entire state. We have clients that come to us in our recovery programs from all over the state, and even the surrounding states. We do.
So technically, there's like no branch offices of Union Rescue Mission, of Dorcas House, or anything in other parts of the state. You're still essentially, physically headquartered here in Pulaski County.
Yes, sir, we are.
Gotcha.
That's where we are.
Okay. But I would assume that if people are coming in from different parts of the state, even out of state, that you've got to have some connections, or let me put it this way, you've got to have good alliances or partnerships with other groups that can say, okay, we don't have anything here in Pocahontas, but there's an organization in Little Rock. And so, well, could you give maybe a couple of examples or shout outs if you want to for any of the groups, any of the partners that you have that help Union Rescue Mission out, that will send people in need your way? Anyone you'd like to bring up, anyone you'd like to give a thank you to?
Well, we have worked with various facilities across the state. We've a Harbor Home. We will encourage people to contact different areas of the state. There's a group out of Jonesboro, and I can't even, it's slipping my mind. I don't have their name offhand, but we've got multiple, we do work together to help each other. If we're not able to get you in here, we do look for, I think it's John 316 recovery place. There's multiple places. And so if you call, we will help you find a place locally if you're not able to get to us. But we will first try to do everything in our power to help you get to us.
Now, with that in mind, I did see on your website that you're encouraging more and more groups, whether they're faith-based or maybe secular-oriented or something like that. But there was something that you're really wanting people to know about, and that's the, and correct me if I get it wrong, the 100 by 100 partnerships.
Yes, sir. That is our new campaign that we're doing that we're really excited about. We are we're looking for 100 businesses, 100 churches, and 100 individuals that will come alongside and just link arms with us as partners and commit to giving us $100 a month in financial support to just help us build that monthly support we can count on. We've been really blessed recently with some great partners to come alongside, like Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we've had Everett Motors and East End Towing, Riggs Cat, some of those that have partnered with us so far. But it's a new campaign, and we're looking to build those partnerships. We've been hit hard in our donations through the pandemic.
all of us.
Yeah. So it's been tough, and but we have seen some faithful givers and supporters that just love what we do and they believe in what we do to come alongside us. And so we're looking for more of those that are willing to make that $100 commitment monthly. Is not a big ask, but it's just one that we can build on for support that we can count on, every month that's there.
Well, now, with you were talking about this donation of $100 per month. But what about people who are not in a position, groups or persons who are not in a position maybe to do that on a monthly basis? But maybe there's someone out there that says, okay, I'll make a one-time contribution to Union Rescue Mission, or if doable, maybe directly to Nehemiah House or Dorcas House, however your rules and regulations are set up. But would I be correct in saying that if someone makes a cash donation, that it can or would be, for example, tax exempt?
Oh, absolutely. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, so any donation that we receive, they can use as a tax deduction. And we, I mean, one-time donations, in fact, even the 100 by 100 partnership, we've had companies that want to partner but say we'd rather pay it all in one lump, one-time donation a year, and we still include them in that partnership. And with the business partnership, you know, we want to give back a publicity piece where we will do a plaque presentation, add them to our social media, you know, platforms, and really make a big deal about our business, you know, putting their logo on our websites and our mailings and that sort of thing. So, but yes, you know, one-time donations of any size. So if somebody says, I have $25 to give, I mean, any amount is helpful and wanted, and we are so grateful for, and it does make a difference.
Now, there's also going to be those folks out there who may not donate cash, but they donate in kind, clothing, food, anything like that. Is that also doable as far as Union Rescue Mission work is concerned?
Absolutely. And let me back up and just make sure I state this again. As far as to donate, we want it to be as easy as possible. If somebody doesn't want to have to go through writing the check and putting that's starting to become so archaic, checkbooks. I never thought our checks would become archaic. But anyway, put a check in the mail. We have a donate link on our website at urmissionlr.org. And you can just go click there and make donations. So I just wanted to mention that before I move on.
But Fair enough.
In-kind donations are big. We depend on them, especially like food donations. We used to, before COVID came along, we were getting restaurants donate and large gatherings would donate food after an event. And those have been cut out, and that has impacted the mission greatly.
Wow.
So food is a big thing. We love to get that. Cleaning supplies. We go through lots of bleach and lots of cleaning supplies, hygiene products, all of those things. We have three resale shops, so we're all of the proceeds from those resale shops go to the Dorcas House. And so and those we need clothes for, and household items and furniture. If you like, let's say, John, if we had somebody say, you know, we had a call the other day, a lady, her mother's moving into a nursing facility. Her apartment has a whole apartment full of furniture, but she cannot get it to us. We will come pick up. So you can call that number I gave you earlier.
Give them the number again.
Yeah. Sure. 501-370-0808. And listen for the prompt for the corporate office, and you would ask for a pickup. And we can come and get, and we'll go anywhere in the central arcs around Little Rock, Benton, Bryant, Cabot, Sherwood, that kind of area.
So everybody out there who's listening in and may have some furniture or in-kind donations, call and make sure that you're living within the pickup area. And if not, would I be correct in saying that that y'all would say, okay, you're a little bit too far away for us to come out and pick things up, but there's an organization in your area. Why don't you give them a call?
Oh, absolutely. We would encourage them, and we can help them find a facility to do that.
Fair enough. There could be also those folks out there who are not satisfied with just donating, but they might want to volunteer. Okay, what's the scoop on volunteering? Who would qualify as a volunteer?
Well, you know what? We want volunteers. We love our volunteers. And qualifications is that you have a heart for the mission, for what we're doing for the hurting and broken people that we are ministering and encouraging and helping through recovery. So if you're If that's your desire, then that's a qualification. What we would ask you to do is go to that website again, and that's urmissionlr.org, and go click on the volunteer link, and there's an application there. And there's one for a group volunteer. So, like, we have groups that come, schools, civic groups, church groups. You would fill out a group volunteer application if you're wanting to come as a group, or if you're just an individual that's wanting to come and serve at the mission at Dorcas House or Nehemiah House, you would fill out that, get it to us, and that you can mail those, you can email those to us, and or you can drop them by, and we can, and then what we will do is set up an interview with you just to go over what you're wanting to do, how you're wanting to get involved, ways you can get involved, and we'll help you navigate those next steps for volunteering.
Fair enough. Now, another way, as I understand, that people can find out Union Rescue Mission, Nehemiah House, Dorcas House, everything, what you're all about, is through some events that I know you got coming up for a little bit later on in the year. Now, you said it a little while ago that the COVID fears, the COVID preparations really hit hard. And I'm guessing that some of the events that might have been originally in person have gone virtual. Maybe you've got some in-person events coming up later in the year. But let me see. Two that I saw was, well, believe it or not, a bowling fundraiser and kind of an online auction. So these are some other ways that people can contribute, find out what you're doing. What about these events?
Yes, sir. Well, so the one that's coming up is real close to my heart. It is, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so before I took the position as director of development, I was over the domestic violence program for about 2.5 years, and I myself am a victim of domestic violence. Going through those things and experiencing that, this event is very close to my heart. So I am the one who really heads it up. And what we're disappointed about is that we can't have our normal. We do a bowling/silent auction at Millennium Bowl in Maumelle, and we've been doing that for some years now. And because of the coronavirus, we're having to cancel the actual in-person event, and we're going to a straight online auction. And so to kind of make up for those that big fundraiser we depend on to help just raise funds that we really need, we need as many auction new items that as possible that people can bid on. So we're looking for donors that have some new items they feel like would be great.
Or what they call gently used items or something like that.
Yeah, that we can auction off would be great.
For when? Now, would this be just like over one day only? Is it going to be over several days? What would be the date or dates and the times that this auction is going to be running?
All right. So the auction will be October 7th through the 10th. And it's online, and we will be posting that link to the auction in the next few weeks to our website, our social media pages, and we'll be emailing and texting that out. So, and it'll be October 7th through the 10th, and we'll end the auction at 10 p.m. on the 10th. And that'll be where... So we are looking for, I mean, if somebody said, well, I've got a VRBO that I could probably give a weekend, you know, to the Union Rescue Mission for the auction, that would be great. I mean, just anything that people would bid on, we would love to have. So if you've got anybody out there that's interested in donating something like that, yes, please let us know. And let me give you an email address to
please
send questions to on that.
Please.
Let me give that to you. So it's info@urmissionlr.org.
Okay. So anyone out there who's got any items, the best thing to do would be email or telephone the Union Rescue Mission corporate office and talk things over with the powers that be, if you will, about what you've got, and maybe take it even a step further. Maybe you got some spare cash lying around someplace that you can donate, or perhaps maybe even become a volunteer. Now, Michelle, we're getting kind of close to the bottom of the hour, but there was another event. Now, probably it's not going to be live in person for the near future, but there's one that really caught my eye, and I've heard a few things about some other groups that have done this, and or something similar. But I saw something that you have set up called Night on the Street.
Yes, that is at one of our long-term events we've had several years now that we do in the spring, mm-hmm. and it's to bring awareness to homelessness. And so what we do is we encourage we encourage groups, schools, individuals to come out. Mm-hmm. It's set up at War Memorial in that outer area, mm-hmm. you know, that circles around War Memorial. And we'll set up we call them homeless camps, small groups of 6 to 8 folks. And we ask them to choose to become homeless for the night, mm-hmm. and reach out to friends and family members, telling them about the Union Rescue Mission and discussing and asking people to help them get off the street.
Now, it strikes me that is a good object lesson, that, okay, if you really want to help, if you really want to get a good understanding, you better doggone well come down and walk in our shoes for even for this short period of time. Get a little taste of what it's like for us, the homeless.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to build awareness and for them to experience. And what we want to do is ignite a passion, mm-hmm. and a desire to see change and to impact homelessness. Mm-hmm. And, we get children that come down, you know, teenagers that come down from school groups. Mm-hmm. And this is a mm-hmm. great experience. I mean, you know, a majority of homeless people don't choose homelessness. Like, we can come down and choose to be a homeless for an evening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it does give them a visual. And you know, on one hand, it's a very, sad and harsh reality of to look at homelessness and what we have right here. I mean, we have over 2,700 homeless people. Mm-hmm. As of 2019, we had over 2,700 mm-hmm. homeless folks
2,700
in the state of Arkansas. Yeah, that's way too many. And so it brings awareness, but yet it's a fun event that you can come and do with your family. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, you know, you're sitting around for 2 or 3 hours talking and visiting, you know, in your little homeless camp, making your calls and your texts to your friends and family. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that date set again. That's just it's a to be determined based on the fact that we're in the middle of this crazy coronavirus situation. We will post that on our website as well when we have that date. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. if you are interested, keep an look out for that info on our social media mm-hmm. pages as well as our website.
Okay. Now, we're just about at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to kind of surprise the powers that be around here by going to our midpoint public service announcements. Got one coming online and a couple from our real good friends and partners and supporters from Arkansas Community Organization that I'll share with you in just a moment. But keep in mind, with everything that Michelle Harper has been talking about, put it into the context of a classic Arabic phrase that goes something like this: I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Now think about it. Just think about it. And you're listening to this week's It Could Be You. I'm your host, John S. I'm going to be back with you very, very shortly, so hang in there. Got a lot more information to share with you. Hang in there.
Pro Profile America, Thursday, August 27th. Today is National Petroleum Day, marking the date in 1859 when blacksmith William Smith saw a dark film floating on the surface of the water in a hole he was boring near Titusville, Pennsylvania. Rising from a depth of just 69 feet, it was the oil he was seeking for his employer, Edwin Drake. Soon, the nation's first commercial oil well was pumping out crude oil. Western Pennsylvania was the center of the infant industry, as new uses were found for the long familiar product. Today, there are nearly 1 million oil and gas wells nationwide, producing 12 million barrels of petroleum products per day. Some 6,500 businesses engage in extracting oil and gas, employing 140,000 people in a $234 billion a year industry. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
And like I said, I've got a couple of things from our wonderful folks at Arkansas Community Organizations. There, I said it properly. Arkansas, for one thing, Arkansas is counting on you. We need a complete count of Arkansas in the 2020 U.S. Census to provide health care to the residents, to educate our students, to build and maintain our roads, and so much more over the next decade. So now, if you out there listening in, if you have not yet taken or completed the census, do it now at my2020census, and that's spelled CENSUS.gov, my2020census.gov, or by calling 844-330-2020. That's 844-330-2020. Then do your friends, your relatives, everybody you know a favor. How about getting in touch with at least 20 people that you know to make sure that they fill out the census as well? Now look, time is running out on this. The deadline to respond has been moved up, and it's going to be at the end of September, the 30th of September. So once again, if you have not yet done so, respond now to ensure Arkansas counts. Now, they're going to be, Arkansas Community Organization is going to be doing kind of another count, but that's going to be free tax help. You know, this year has really kind of done some strange things with turning in our taxes and whatnot, turning in the tax statements and so on, plus a lot of other things to the government. So they're advertising, they're offering free help with your taxes or, if necessary, your COVID relief check. But there's a deadline here, October the 15th. Arkansas Community Organizations is providing free tax filing assistance until that 15th of October. Now, even if you don't usually file taxes, ACO can help you fill out the paperwork to get your COVID relief check. Listen, $1,200 or more is involved. And listen, there are some folks out there who could conceivably use this funding. So call today to set up what is called a drop-off appointment. Now, if you're in the Little Rock area, Central Arkansas area, you call the ACO office at 501 if you need the area code, 376-7151, or you can call the office in Pine Bluff at 870-536-6300. 376-7151 or area code 870-536-6300. Michelle Harper, are you still with me? Is Union Rescue Mission still there?
We are. We are right here.
Okay. I want to welcome you back to the second half, as well as the listeners, to the second half of the program. And how about, just in case, refreshing the listeners' information, you know, their jog their memory, refresh their memory about giving contact. Let's say the two best ways to contact Union Rescue Mission if they want to donate, volunteer, anything.
Absolutely. The best ways to get in touch with us is our phone number, which is 501-370-0808. And listen for the prompt. You can ask your questions at the corporate office, and then we can get you to where you need to be if we can't help you, as well as you can email any questions or information to info@urmissionlr.org.
Okay.
And that leads me to our website too. So if you do have, if you want more info, our website is urmissionlr.org.
Okay. Now I'd like to go a little bit broader with you. And Union Rescue Mission. Now, I've had other groups bringing help to the needy on the program over these past several years. Now, and other groups are going to be offering help to maybe those in quote-unquote specialized categories, homeless, people who are struggling with addiction, and more. Okay. What would you say makes Union Rescue Mission and all of these groups that URM deals with or controls or coordinates with, however you want to describe it. How would you say URM, Dorcas House, Nehemiah House, things like that, how do they stand out? How do they differ from groups, other groups that are doing similar work?
Sure. So the way we are different is that our goal is to see recovery. So our focus is recovery programs. I think that a lot of people hear Union Rescue Mission. They may even hear the Dorcas House or Nehemiah House and think shelter. And so I am quick to educate them in the fact that it is actually recovery programs. We have 4 9-to-12 month long recovery programs. That would be, we have drug and alcohol recovery programs for men and women. We have a recovery program for women and children coming out of domestic violence. And then we have a homeless recovery program. You know, the heart of the mission is to see lives changed forever and the cycles of abuse and addiction and homelessness to be broken so that they can, you know, come out of those situations and be, you know, a productive citizen that can engage and give back and thrive. And so, you know, we want to see them restored, recovered, go and experience healing. We are faith-based as well, so that does separate us out. We work with a lot of our, you know, those different groups that we've, that are in the area that service a lot of the people that we impact, like Salvation Army and the Compassion Center and Our House and those that are here in the Central Arkansas area. But, you know, the difference is that we bring them into a program and we house them, provide for their needs. They do not work while they're in our programs. We have a transitional living for them to go into, a work program after they come out of our initial recovery program. We don't make them leave and go get a job during the day. A lot of the other programs that are a lot of the other shelters and those that make a great impact, do great work, they still are more of a temporary fix. Help in that way where
But you're willing, it seems like you, and I'm talking you plural, that you're willing and ready to help, say, with more extensive help, more extensive treatment or therapy, however you want to describe it. Would I be correct on that?
Absolutely. Okay. You are correct. We're going to, we dig deeper into those areas with through our classes and our counseling and therapies and and you know we also we have a lot of folks that come to us that struggle with mental illness and that's not something that we shy away from. We actually are very we embrace those folks that struggle with mental illness. We want to help them stabilize and get on their feet. And I know that as we go through and visit, we'll get into, I'm sure, more of this as far as how addiction and homelessness and abuse and mental illness kind of all ties together.
But, the interconnected nature of all of these things. Oh, yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Now, I want to clarify something with you. What you talk about is what goes on, primarily goes on, at the Nehemiah House for men and the Dorcas House for women. Now, if someone should show up, say, like at the Dorcas House, and say they need help, okay, would I be correct in assuming that you do, like, say, an interview, an evaluation right there, and if they do not qualify, say their help is really rooted in something else. They may not be able to go into Dorcas' house, but you'd be able to say, okay, we can't take you in, but here, say maybe over in North Little Rock, for example, here's a place that you can go to, and they are tailor-made for your needs, for your struggle.
That's exactly what we do, and that's the heart of what we want. We want, if we cannot help them, and there's been many situations that we are not the fit, but we do not want to see them walk right back out that door without receiving some sort of help. So we will connect them to some of the other, you know, the other folks that are helping and can appeal to their need better. And then we will not only connect them to them, but if they find, or if they're able to go there, we will take them. So we will transport them so they don't have to walk there or find their own way. We will take them to the help that they need if we are not able to provide that.
Now, it also strikes me that there are going to be some individuals or perhaps families out there that they need help. But they're inhibited from getting, call it a sense of shame, maybe a sense of pride or something like that. They will not, I can't say cannot, but they will not, for whatever reason, resist turning to a group like Union Rescue Mission. How can Union Rescue Mission and similar organizations try to overcome these barriers, this sense of shame, this sense of pride?
Well, you know, what we want to do is encourage them, and that's part of when they make that phone call and they step out there, we want to impact them from the moment they call with a kind voice and an encouragement to help them through those fears and insecurities about stepping out, and whether that is, you know, fear in a domestic violence situation and how to help them push through that fear and make that big step for help. Or, you know, to get a to move into recovery. I will be honest with you, though, the successful folks that I see that come through the program is in that position of desperateness where they just don't have another option. Like, they are sick of living how they've been living. They are tired of having to look for their next meal or having to figure out how to, you know.
Or they're worried about their kids.
Yes, absolutely, and they just need help, and they're ready for that. And so, you know, that's the ones that come in that say, "Man, they're willing to take that hand up, you know, and just grab on and come along and push past their pride." We are not here, the Union Rescue Mission is not judging. We want to love people right where they are. And that's on any level.
Now,
right,
would I be correct in saying that if there is the need, that someone who's kind of struggling with making that decision to seek help, that you're going to have people on hand who could go to these people and say, "Listen, I know exactly what you're going through because I've gone through it. I can say been there, done that. And this is how. This is how I can be of help. This is how Dorcas House or Nehemiah House or Union Rescue Mission in general can be of help." Would I be correct in saying that, yeah, that you would have people there, even if they're going to serve like as a mentor for some of the people who come in to get help? Is that something that goes on?
Yes. We do. We as soon as they will come and make that commitment, we help journey from the minute they walk in those doors. We know that is a big, big step. And so we want them to experience that encouragement from the very beginning. They have directors that will walk with them and connect with them and encourage them. Then we also have volunteers that come alongside and mentor them and encourage them in this so that they have cheerleaders along the way to say, "You can keep going and you can keep doing this." Because it does get hard, especially in that beginning time when they're in that transition from that old way of living and trying to move and go in a new direction.
Right. Now, one thing that really strikes me, believe it or not, I've heard over the years some arguments from individuals who flat out don't want to have anything to do with anything faith-based. Oh, they're going to try to convert you to their way of their interpretation of the Bible. Oh, they're going to do this, that, and the other. So it really strikes me that there's still myth and there's misinformation out there, whether it's going to be about Union Rescue Mission maybe in general or maybe more specifically, let's say, the Nehemiah House. If you've heard, if you've had to run into the myths and misinformation, what would you say really kind of clings to the public mind that is just flat out wrong about what you're doing?
Sure. Well, interesting that you brought up the faith-based part of it, because that is something that we do not at the Union Rescue Mission want someone to feel like it's shoved down their throat.
More non-denominational then?
Yes, non-denominational. We do not line up with any specific denomination. We do stand on the Word of God, the Bible. The program is built around biblical principles, and the people that come in choose to be a part of our program. They do have to participate in the program, but we do not force faith down where we force any decisions. That's a very private thing for each individual, and we want to respect that decision for them, and it be their decision and not our decision for them. So I want to make sure that clear, because that does get, people can get confused in that when they hear, Union Rescue Mission, they're going to force something on me. Our groups do attend, church. Our programs do attend church and have Bible study and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I like to make that clear. If that's something, someone is completely against, I'd like for them to know that up front about our recovery program. One of the other things is that we're free. Recovery programs for free. People spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on a recovery program, and we are free.
Would that extend, if someone needs recovery or if they're struggling, really struggling, say for the plain and simple fact that they've been incarcerated, or there's the family members of someone who's incarcerated, and they're struggling, they're trying to get through some really, really hard times, is what you're doing, is what Union Rescue Mission is doing available to people who have been through these rather, if you will, unique circumstances?
Yes, we are. That is a big yes. We want to come alongside those who have been incarcerated. We have several clients that choose to come into our recovery program after they come out and they go on parole. Mm-hmm. And we also have courts will allow them to make an option of coming to the Union Rescue Mission as an option rather than having to go. They either come to the mission or they have to go to jail. And we've seen that happen as we are an alternative route that they have. We get a lot of respect from our judicial system. Judicial system, where they come alongside those folks, and we have seen some pretty incredible things where we will make sure that we get all of the clients that need to be in court hearings or go to parole officers. We take them, we want to come alongside and help them with whatever they need in their accountability. Mm-hmm. I can give you a story about it. One of our guys that came to us, and he had done some things that he got in trouble for prior to coming. Mm-hmm. He said, "I will go to the Union Rescue Mission." We had him deal. We do not let them dodge or avoid what they need to account for. So while he was at the Nehemiah House, he dealt with those things. He had to do a stint in prison. Mm-hmm. And he went into prison with a great attitude, a joy in his heart from what he had experienced at the mission prior to going. And then as soon as he came out, he asked to be placed back with us at the Union Rescue Mission, finished out, graduated, and is doing excellent, restored to his family and working at our Happy Gray resale shop. We want to work with those that are coming out of incarceration, that we can help them transition back in, help them with work program, get on their feet, and it looks good to a court. If people are willing to choose to go into a program like ours and get the help that they need.
It strikes me that what you're doing is trying to help them all the way down to the basics, that and the basics could be, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, that the basics could be, okay, I am somebody, I am worth something, and that I'm not, say, this piece of that someone steps on all the time.
Oh, that is the heart of what we want them to do. They, you know, they come in feeling so worthless, and what we want to encourage them in, and I have to, because I can get emotional, because I've watched just this experience where they come in feeling that worthlessness, and we come around them and want them to experience love and encouragement and know that they are so very worth every bit of the love that we want to show, and the and the work we want to put into helping them in their recovery
and crucially to overcome one thing that a lot of people face with, and that is the myth or the misinformation that they are all alone. Nobody understands. Nobody can get what it is I or my family have been struggling through. And it strikes me that a good part, and again, correct me if I get this wrong, is how important it is to have people on hand through Union Rescue Mission or through any really good help organization to say, okay, I know full well what you're going through. I can say, been there, done that.
That's exactly right. So the leadership is, a lot of us have experienced the very same things they're going through. Mm-hmm. So we can meet them right where they are. That was what I loved about the position as director of domestic violence there for a period of time, is that I had been in their shoes. I knew that fear. Mm-hmm. I knew, you know, what that looked like and how scary it is and all the things they were feeling. So the impact, I was able to come from a place of understanding, yet encouraging them that they can have a fresh start. They can go a different direction. They can break the cycles of abuse. And well, I'm a living testimony to
that.
Okay,
and that reminded me, that I you were talking with me a few days ago about the program, about coming onto the program, and one of the things that you wanted everybody to know is that Union Rescue Mission is taking more attention, is giving more activity, more of a focus, if you prefer, on domestic violence. Now, whether or not it's going to be just maybe the sad to say offshoot of all of the fears of the COVID-19 virus, whatever, but is this something that's true, that Union Rescue Mission is going to be taking a stronger, more active look and more active approach to ending, to intervening if necessary, against domestic violence? And before answering that, I want to make sure that everybody out there knows that violence, that abuse, takes many forms. It could be physical, it could be sexual, it could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be a combination of the above. But is this something that Union Rescue Mission is really starting, has really begun? And not just from what you were talking about in the last couple of minutes, but is this something that really is needed now?
Oh, the Union Rescue Mission has had a huge passion to see women and children be able to come out of those situations and be cared for and have an opportunity to start over. But now even more, I mean, because of COVID and because of the pandemic, and people have in losing jobs and quarantine,
the stress,
and all the things, the stress is there. And when that stress is there, that's when the abuse rises and the addictions rise. And so now more than ever, our programs are needed, and we have a passion to see people come out of those domestic violence situations. And I want to mention, yes, we bring in those women and those children, and we care for them and we help them into recovery and making better choices, decisions. But we don't want to forget to mention that the abuser needs help as well.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's something, the abuser is what gets left out. You know, we take the victims, and absolutely we're passionate about the victims. But the Union Rescue Mission cares for the abuser who has probably been abused himself, and there's something down deep that drives that abuser. And right now, they are not required to get the help they need. I wish we could see more government step into if an abuser has been penalized, you know, they've been called, they have any kind of convictions in that, they should be required to seek the help that they need with anger management classes and, you know,
being shown that there are alternatives just to lashing out at a person or a pet.
Well, with that
in mind, we've only got a few minutes left, so this kind of leads into something that I wanted to ask. Okay, you mentioned that, you know, maybe official circles, government circles, they need to pay more attention. They need to make the laws to fight domestic violence as much and as thoroughly as possible. Now, with that in mind, and let's say in addition to this attention, say, to domestic violence, are there some other areas of concern? Are there some other areas of social need, social justice, let's say, that must be addressed? Now, maybe it could be through a faith-based organization, purely secular groups, official circles, whether it's going to be the state legislature, maybe the U.S. Congress, I don't know. But regardless of the source that would take action, what are some areas, again, of social need, social justice, of real concern that you would like to see addressed that could, that would make, oh, well, work for Union Rescue Mission better, more effective?
Well, you know, the biggest thing we see plagues the clients that come in. And let me say, you know, we do predominantly impact low-income families, but we want to help everyone. If there's a need for our programs, regardless of, you know, status, we want you to be able to come in and receive help. And so, you know, what we see is mental health, mental illness impact a good majority of our clients. And what's heartbreaking is they are not receiving the help that they need right out of the gate. That, I mean, they have to seek out a program like us. Like, if we could, it seems like it's kind of swung over the last 50 or 60 years with the, you know, they were locking people up for smaller reasons in mental institutions years and years and years ago. And now it's swung all the way over where I have a family member, a very close family member that has mental illness with bipolar. And I've watched her not be able to receive the help she needs. There's lots of short-term options, but once they get you on some medications and stuff, they're pushing you right out the door.
Oh, yeah, Ben, you're done. You're done. Go on out. Let's make room for the next person to come in.
Exactly. It's just like herding cattle in and out, and there's no real chance for them to levelize and stabilize for any length of time before they're put right back into stressors that generate the mental illness to triggers it. And so it's just, and what does that do? They get triggered. They go, you know, they turn to street drugs instead of, you know.
Can we all say revolving door?
Yes. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, it just really is heartbreaking to watch how the cycles just continue and continue. And then they're out on the street homeless because they can't hold down a job because of their mental illness. They're not staying on medications. There's no accountability. And so they're just out there wandering, struggling and suffering. And that's what a lot of the homeless, you know, you look at them and a lot of us judge them and think they're just panhandling for money. But
but how many people out there are one paycheck away from being homeless or experiencing a disaster? We're going to have to leave it at that because we're very, very short of time. Very quickly, one more time, the two best ways to get in touch with Union Rescue Mission, please.
Yes. Call us at 501-370-0808 and listen for the prompts. And or you can contact us at info@urmissionlr.org. That's also our website, urmissionlr.org.
Michelle Harper, many, many thanks for being on today's program. I'm going to see if I can metaphorically arm twist you into coming back on at a little bit later time. So I'm going to say many thanks for right now. I'll be in touch with you and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that's going to do it for this week. Next week, the folks from Parents of Murdered Children are going to come back to talk about some things that have been going on to update and alert folks who are in need of this particular service. Dr. Ed Blair is going with his commemoration.